Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
You are listening to Live from the Path from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. I'm Ben Foose, the double-minded man. I shouldn't have chosen a moniker that James especially picks out and says, don't be like that.
This is not the right way to live.
I'm the recovering double-minded man. Still not viable. You're listening to Live from the Path on livefromthepath.org, broadcasting every Monday night from 10 to whenever. We'll cut you off about 11 for legitimate radio, and then we're going to rock on with the podcast. So stay tuned. We got good stuff coming up tonight, Ben.
So here's what we got. So they've legalized marijuana in Colorado.
What?
Legalized it.
Huh? Completely legal?
Yeah. So the question is...
As much as you want?
Well, as long as you're willing to purchase it, I guess.
Whoa, man. Calm it down.
So in any case...
I'm completely calm.
So the question is it's legal... Is recreational marijuana use okay where it can be purchased legally?
Yeah, do we got a biblical problem now?
Yeah.
Or is the biblical problem erased and now we can do what we want?
Yeah.
Or what some people may want. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I got too excited there.
You really did.
Kind of led you in one direction that is not necessarily the case.
We have some advice on dear life and the path.
We do. We also have some Pope-style advice, circa me. I'm conjuring it up right now. It's basically the concept behind Pope-style advice is the pontiff regularly comes out on a giant, does he still do that? Does the down-to-earth Pope still do it?
But he got rid of the Pope-mobile. He drives like a 78 Volvo or something.
Yeah. That's classy.
Here's the thing. Regardless of his theological convictions, I just frankly like the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's kind of uptown. Anyway, the standard issue Pope generally comes out on his big balcony and gives life lessons, things that you probably shouldn't go another day without changing or looking at or making some adjustments. And we're doing our own. We do our own here. It's called Pope Style Advice, where basically, it's a little bit from your life. You know, things that you've noticed and things that the masses have shown up at your place and they refuse to leave until you give them some kind of advice. And so we're going to provide that type of, Johnny Do-Good type stuff today.
Johnny Do-Good type stuff.
Yeah, I'm not good with stuff on the fly. And my pen's broken. So that leaves us where we're at.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, that's what we got going on. I have a broad question that I'm going to throw out to the group already. Well, we'll kick it off with this. So the question is like, let's say you are in a relationship and you are, as a dude, you have a responsibility for to lead spiritually in your relationship. Okay. The lady you are with seems to have a stronger relationship with God than you do. It's not because you don't want one or because you're not, in a relationship with God or anything. It's just like, I mean, she's rocking on all cylinders. What does your leadership look like in that situation?
Ooh. Ooh, that's tough. I've been down that road before. Like, I mean, here's the deal. Like, if you're between two married people, like, you're, as a single person, just looking at you personally, your relationship tends to ebb and flow with Christ. I mean, it's not what you want, but it's how it happens. It's true with just about any relationship you have. Sometimes it feels like you're solidly connected, and sometimes it feels like you let it wane or didn't pay attention to it, didn't nurture it. And, I don't know if I'd say that, the situations that I'm talking about where, that I've completely given up on Christ, but I feel like my wife was spiritually solid, and I was struggling, and I wasn't where I should have been or where I needed to be, and she was, she was praying and she was reading her Bible and she was hearing from God and she, we made some moves because of that and it actually forced me back into my relationship because I'm like, my family is moving in God's will without me. I'm gonna have to get back in and see what's going on here, you know. And so, but it does make it tough, you know. It makes it. I always come back to that guy. What was the story where the angel appeared to the gal, and then she's like, let me go get my husband. And then, she came back and the angel was gone. And then he came back again the next time and finally the angel agreed to stick around and talk to the husband as well. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's Old Testament style. Nobody's with me. Nobody's nope. Bible reading. No reading of the Bible.
Got nothing.
Is that Samson's parents?
Yeah, Samson's parents. Yeah. Daniel's on it. All right.
There's an angel involved there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that.
There's an angel involved there.
Yeah.
Jeez, Dan. I at least keep my misgivings to myself.
Yeah, I knew that.
Anyway, it does make for an awkward, I don't know, position. Are you speaking like someone who's a little bit more, like, is your wife a little more charismatic? Like she?
No.
It's just. Man, what qualifications are you looking at to say, hey, she's closer to God? Or
that's okay. What I was wondering. How do you determine that?
Here's the pickle I find myself in. I'm not necessarily married because I'm not married.
Hold on. It's not good to laugh at your own jokes. Okay, you got to let them simmer and see if others laugh first. Continue on.
Sorry, I just think I'm hilarious. It's a problem I have. I'm trying to fix it. So I'm not married. I am dating a lady, however, and in that relationship, there's some sort of spiritual leadership that is supposed to be coming from me, I assume, because that's what other people tell me, and that's what I've read in books. And so I feel like a lot of the time, however, she just, like, if you look at her life and then you look at my life, and in just sheer number of years that she's been following Christ legitimately is more than me, and I feel like oftentimes she has, like, a closer connection with God than I do. Like, I'm not really sure how to explain, like, how that looks exactly, but I'm oftentimes like, well, how am I supposed to do any sort of leadership if you're better off than me? Like, I'm just kind of sitting around here and going, good job.
Dan? Counsel them in.
Okay. I'm thinking what's going through my mind at the moment is Priscilla and Aquila. You have a married couple that I think the first time they're mentioned, the guy is mentioned first, which kind of gives you the impression that he was kind of like the spiritual guy. From then forward, she is mentioned first always in the book of Acts, and kind of implying that she was really the one who was rocking it in the spiritual realm and in leadership within the church even. He was like hanging out, but she was like the go-to person. So I don't know.
Does that necessarily mean that he's failed?
No, not at all. It just means God was using her specifically to do some things. God was using him as well just to do different things. But maybe her stuff was more visible. Maybe she was just kind of more in tune with the day-to-day, hey, God wants me to do this or that, and he's just being obedient. You know, I don't think – that's what I was kind of troubled with the question even. It's like it's hard to really gauge how you decide my relationship. Yeah, I'm rocking it right now. Or the ebb and flow, does that when you're ebbing in and flowing out, does that mean you have a less relationship, or does that just mean you're a little messed up and you need to kind of get back? That's what I think it more means. You need to just kind of get back on the ball. Doesn't mean like you have a less relationship with God or you're less capable to lead in your family. I'm just kind of my mind's kind of thinking.
Well, and I think broadly, you don't necessarily have to be the best. This is the wrong connotation, but the best isn't the right connotation. But like, people that lead aren't necessarily the top performers. You know what I'm saying? So like, leadership doesn't necessarily mean that you are better at something than somebody else. Part of that is bringing out the best that is in other people. Like, oftentimes the sign of a good leader is where people surpass you. Now, spiritually, obviously, that's not quite the right connotation. But like, as if you're the spiritual leader of your family, I mean, you can be you are an encourager. You are you are someone who cares enough. Sometimes it's just being there. Sometimes it's just like, you know, hey, checking up with folks and seeing how things are going and being a sounding board for them to be with.
Maybe that's a terminology thing here. Are men called to be the spiritual leader of the home, or are they responsible for the home?
Yeah, so I would.
God's going to slap the guy around if things are going.
Yeah, the man. Yeah, is responsible. Right. Right. Yeah.
That doesn't mean he has to put on the leader hat all the time and say, "Here's correct. All right, we're turning left up here at the stop sign," and the whole family's going, "That's stupid. We really should go right." But you're the leader. I don't know if that's it. I think that you're responsible, which sometimes requires some leadership, and sometimes requires you to sit back because your wife's got it going and let her go. You know, let her do her thing.
No, that's true. I mean, the Lord doesn't have to pass everything through you that he's doing with your wife.
That's where I think we get a bad rap on the whole chauvinism stuff. It's like sometimes you can get extreme and think, no, it's the guy. It's like, I don't know that that's really, you know, scripturally. I mean, there's a lot of strong things about men being responsible, that's for sure.
Actually, you know, like we went through this a little bit when, like I said, my wife was, you know, she was getting some things from God, like a move that we were going to make, that our family was going to make. And And I prayed on it, and I wasn't getting it. You know, I'm like, I'm not getting it, Lord. And then I kind of fell into a little bit of a, why don't you tell me stuff? You know, like, I kind of want to know.
Man.
You know, but then I decided, look, that's more a pride issue on my end, right? Like, do I believe that God speaks to people audibly, you know, or through his word and through prayer? And I thought, yes, I do. Do I find my wife's relationship with Christ to be genuine? Yes, I do. Good enough for me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Yeah.
I feel like God will shut it down if I'm wrong, you know?
Well, what's Joseph going to do if Mary comes and says, here's the deal, we're giving birth to the Son of God? He's like, no, I think I better make that decision.
That's a classic example, is it not, Dan? Right? You don't see Joseph being like, tell me more, Lord. I don't really buy what Mary's saying. As far as the Bible quotes, it's like Mary told him how it was going to be, and he said, right on.
Well, he had to wait for that dream.
Yeah.
You know, and for God to confirm it. But he was, you know, he was going to just quietly divorce her. Hmm. But she was still staying firm. She wasn't like, well, whatever Joseph says. I mean, she's following God. God said this, and she says, all
right.
Man, yeah,
you know, it's a two-sided coin, right? Like, there's a lot of dudes that hand over a lot of their responsibilities. They put them on top of their wife. Like, so their wife is responsible for X number of things within their marriage, and then they take that responsibility and dump it on their wife as well. That's wrong. Like, completely passive in your family's spirituality is wrong. But on the other hand, like, completely domineering and thinking that the Lord has to use you for everything that happens in your family, that's not right either, right? Like, do you trust God, or do you not? And so, like, if you see things going on within your family, especially with your wife or your girlfriend or something, and they seem to be rocking it, that's just the tenor that the Lord has used. Like, maybe their personality's bent a little bit more that way. I'm not a real charismatic fella, right? The Lord seems to, when I feel like the Lord's talking to me, he talks to me very much my own language, right? Very, very much in situational irony generally, and then he'll back it up in like a Bible reading I'll have 2 days later. And he just does that to me because that's the way my mind thinks. And if he created me, he knows how my mind thinks. He knows how my heart works, and that's the way he does it. And to other people, you know, they'll make big, huge, bold moves, you know, based on a prayer they had. And they're like, God just told me this, you know? And like, I can't say that generally happens to me a whole lot, but I totally believe it happens to other people. And it's really none of my business how God decides to deal with his kids.
Yeah.
We all have to sit a little firmer in that, boys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe not stand so uptight with a shield and an armor and say, here's the deal. Maybe we're just going to be quiet. Do as we're told.
Because I'm responsible for that.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. I don't know. What do you think, Nathaniel? Does that help? Is that helpful?
I don't know if it's helpful or not. Oh, man. I'm going to have to chew on it for a while.
I mean, because I suppose, like, ultimately, I think it is it's possible that you have an expectation of what leadership is that isn't correct, right? That you have to be doing a certain thing or like taking charge. That's not necessarily, I think, the biblical example of the man being responsible for the spiritual guidance in the house. You don't necessarily have to be doing those things.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you're in charge of your own relationship with God and your own obedience to it. Now, if you're, like, let's say your significant other gets a little bit off track, you know, that does fall under your purview to make sure that they're in relationship with Christ and they're doing things. But I mean, they're doing the same for you, right? They're holding you accountable. They're making sure that your relationship is staying intact. And usually, you can tell. I mean, the Bible's pretty clear about what you're looking for. You're looking for fruits here. And you know, a lot of people sell you half a story, like, they have a great relationship with God, and you see no fruit. You know what I'm saying? That's not a tree, and so that's pretty easy to gauge. And so, I mean, spiritual leadership, it's just basically God saying, "I'm holding you responsible for the way that my name is revered in this house, in the house that you're in. The way that gets displayed and the way that love goes out, I will handle. But I'm putting you in charge of making sure that the people in your family." Are following me to a certain extent, and how they choose to follow me or how I use them after that is really none of your concern. I mean, it's your concern, but you know what I'm saying? Like that's his to deal with. They're his kids. You know what I'm saying? But your job is just to make sure that they're heading in that direction. I don't know. Is that lame? Is that too loose? Is the belt too open?
I think that's all you can do. I mean, you can't force anybody to do
it. I really want to, Dan.
I know.
There's a number amount of people in my life that I just want to force to love Jesus.
You can force your children to believe. You can force them to follow certain rules and put the boundaries around them, but that only lasts for a few years. Then at some point, if they don't decide on their own, they're off. They're gone.
Dang.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
So that's why I tend to take the approach of you point, you nudge, you, hey, here's the direction our family's going, which at times calls for some firmness, you know, But, you know, it's, for example, the whole sports thing, you know, we just told our children, yeah, if you want to be on a team that does Sundays, you just tell them up front you're not doing Sundays in our family. That's a priority. So if we put some boundaries there, that caused some friction at times, some stress, and some teammates and coaches got angry. It's like, whatever, we honor Sundays, and, you know, change when you do the games then, you know, and that, you know. But we didn't say you can't do sports because they're ungodly, you know, anything like that. You know, see, every situation you have to gauge and really pray about.
Well, that's probably the. I mean, that's kind of the spiritual leadership you're talking about, right? Like you can have your freedom to do this, but I'm going to set these boundaries so you know where the boundaries are. You choose to disobey them; that's kind of your own business. But this is the boundaries that you know that still lives us in a God honoring lifestyle.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Life from the Path. So on the docket today, it is past the first of the year. Recreational marijuana is available in Colorado, and
by mail order? Can you order it?
No, can't cross state lines. It's got to be in Colorado. Hmm. So you can't buy it there and leave. You gotta buy it there. You smoke it there.
I'm asking for a friend.
No. So I think the question is what is our what should be our reaction to that? Is it okay for a Bible believing Jesus loving dude to enjoy recreational marijuana in Colorado where it's legal? Helpful, very good, fellas.
I don't think so.
Why not?
I'm gonna say no, because we as Christians, you know, what's our ultimate goal in life? What should we be focused on? Like every single second of the day, every minute. We should be focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're smoking a bunch of pot, that's not really clearing up our minds for Jesus.
Now, hold on. What if you're not overindulging in it? You're just having a... What
if you're at the Bonanza? What does that say about you focusing on Jesus?
Yeah, you can't I've eat been at a buffet.
I've been in... I'm in a bad way, gentlemen. If we're not... If we're being 100% honest with each other, the buffet is a place... Right, if a buffet is against God... Turn or burn, gentlemen. Like I'm in a bad way. All right, sorry.
By the way, this is an intervention.
Yeah. Me going to buffets affects you guys negatively in the following ways. Oh, man.
We all wrote letters. It's because we care.
But, I mean, it's just like anything else. It's just like alcohol, right? Like you have a little bit, you know, as long as you're not overindulgent, are you fine?
Yeah, as long as it's legal, I don't see a big deal with
that. That's the all things are permissible, not all things are beneficial.
Like the buffet. What's the distinction between the buffet?
That is true.
Man. But I guess that's the thing. Is like what is the difference? What's the difference between the thing that you choose that is legal, that you enjoy, and this?
I plead ignorant in the whole drug culture. I don't know. I've never taken any of it. I wouldn't know it if I saw it. I don't research it because it's just not a part of my world. Other than anything I hear about it is I understand from legitimate studies that it negatively affects the brain and negatively affects your memory and things and anything that does that. I just would stay away from it personally. Although I have been known to eat a French fry and that negatively impacts a person's cholesterol or heart or whatever, you know. So I just stay away from anything. I don't even take a Tylenol. I mean, unless like the family finally talks me into it because I'm just too grumpy and I have a headache or something. And that's like once a year. I just don't. I try not to take stuff.
But you eat the fries.
But I do take Diet Coke.
But you eat the Diet Fries.
I drink Diet Coke, which will give me cancer, which will ultimately lead to medical marijuana.
I snort packets of Splenda.
I don't care.
I think as long as you can stay in control of it, because I have seen it get out of control, to be 100% honest. I've seen it take over somebody and actually legitimately change them. I'm not kidding about
I'm
that.
A dude.
I'm a lady.
Yes.
This stuff is the best.
No, well, they, okay,
they call
so,
it a gateway drug.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I know that sounds like something that comes out of your 7th grade health class, but that's absolutely true. The fact that it's a gateway drug is 100% true. Because once that becomes fun and becomes something that's not as easy to get high, and it's not as easy to get the high that you were once able to have when you first started smoking marijuana or, you know, eating the edibles and doing that all those kinds of stuff, you go to something different, whether it be pills, whether it be cocaine, whether it be heroin, all the way up to meth and doing all this different stuff. I mean, it is absolutely a gateway drug.
Like, why open the door?
Right.
That's my philosophy.
And I'm not saying that it's a great decision, but when it comes from a biblical standpoint from it, I think as long as you can control yourself on it and it's You know, I mean, I'm not going to put a time frame on it like once a week or anything like that. But as long as you can control
yourself. Once a week's good, eh? That's excellent.
That's why I said I'm not going to put a time frame on it like once a week.
Yeah, but you kind of did when you can't put a time frame on it. I feel like once a week, according to Troy, is fine.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Keep it biblical.
I think that, like I said, like anything else, if you can control yourself on it, it's fine. If it becomes something that is becoming an idol and is getting in the way between you and God, like, you know, am I going to read my Bible or am I going to go get baked? That's where it becomes an issue and it gets in the way of you and God. But if it's something, you know, that's not an issue in your life, it isn't an idol in your life, then yeah, I don't see a problem with it as long as you're in a state where it's legal.
It seems to be mostly associated, probably because it's illegal, but it tends to be associated with like the deeds of darkness type thing. Why go there, you know?
Well, I mean, so does a ski mask, but you could still wear a ski mask.
That was awesome.
It's all in context.
Well, it is all in context, right? A man should be able to wear a ski mask without being buried alive, you know? So I guess I look at it the same way I look at, I don't think it's really any different than alcohol, assuming if it was where it's legal, right? But I also stay away from alcohol for the same reason. I'm not sure. It's not appealing to me. I don't know. Like, you can say if it's not causing you a problem, but I mean, no one's smoking marijuana not for the buzz. You know what I'm saying? That's why you smoke it. If you just smoked a little bit of it and didn't get a buzz from it, you'd be like, I just dig on having marijuana around me. I mean, you're doing it so that you alter something about how you feel. Yeah? The same is true about a pillow, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, you only use the pillow to feel more comfortable.
I see where you're coming from that standpoint, but I think that it's not necessarily something that's automatically altering your mind. I think that a lot of people think that when you get high, that's all it does, is it's a feeling of, hey, I don't have any inhibitions mentally anyway, but that's not it. You know, people smoke it for a body high. People get, you know, calmer because of it. There's a lot of different things. It's not just a mind-altering state.
I think you just mentioned mind-altering states. I've gotten calmer.
Although, I mean, that is natural, right? I mean, tryptophan will do that to you.
Right. You eat too much turkey, you're going to feel pretty good.
A trip to the fan? I don't know what you're talking about.
Tryptophan, it's what they say it makes you tired after you eat a Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll drink warm milk.
You ever do Thanksgiving dinner and you feel really tired after turkey?
Yeah, but it's probably tryptophan, right? Like, yeah. do you eat the turkey just so you get sleepy?
Hey, man,
nothing better than an after Thanksgiving dinner nap.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not the purpose of the turkey. You don't put down two legs at 9 o'clock and go, on my way to sleep time, boys.
NyQuil? Turkey leg.
Grab me a turkey leg and we're going out.
I feel like it's a non-stop. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't see a big
deal. Maybe I don't
it.
Even care. Yeah. I don't care. I mean, because like if I'm being honest about where I'm at, I really don't care. I don't care at all. But I wouldn't do it. I just don't have any reason to do it. Just like I don't drink for the same reason. I'm not against it really. I don't. It tastes bad and I don't like feeling funky. So yeah. I don't do it.
So don't partake in it if you don't want to. Make sure you're still in control of yourself at all times, and make sure you're in a place where it's legal.
Can you trust? Go put that in an alcohol perspective. Can a guy that's drinking, is he in the position to decide whether he's in control of himself? If he's
responsible, absolutely.
But he's taking something that otherwise may inhibit his.
I mean,
ability
Scripture's
to control
plain
himself.
Like with alcohol that the drunkard is a fool. You know, to overdrink is it's just a fool.
Right.
It's over and over again, fool. And I don't know. Do you put marijuana in that same category?
I think that absolutely at that point in time, yes, it could be put into that category because of the fact that there is a level where you, whatever you want to call it, smoke too much or eat too much of the edibles or whatever you do.
Of the edibles.
What are the edibles? Are we talking bonanza again?
No.
Edible, talking about cooking it in like brownies and
yes,
stuff?
Yes, edible is where you cook marijuana into a food.
Put
and
it
then
in
you
Big
can,
League 2?
And then you can eat it to get the high that you
and
would
that
get by smoking
effect,
it.
Huh? Wow.
THC is what's in it that gets you to that level of high.
Are
so you can eat it
brownies?
Or you can smoke it. I don't know. I've never bought.
I can do like a 99-cent a box of.
I'm not saying they're like Little Debbie's cosmic brownies. I don't know.
Hey man, those are straight cardboard. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't know what sells legitimate food in a 12-pack for 89 cents. That's something
I know,
wrong.
Right? There's something wrong with those.
It's
things.
Not food.
Those
man.
Aren't sprinkles. So I think that yes, this could be put in the category of the whole drunkard is a fool thing. This can take over, and this can become something that alters you entirely.
Is the same true for all street drugs? Then I mean, can you have a little heroin?
No, because it's illegal.
A little crackety crack.
Only because it's illegal?
Well, I think there's a lot of other reasons, but what you started with, yeah, it's illegal.
So right, no. I think for those, there's... I don't know.
I mean, what about the nationalist argument that say, look, this marijuana comes from a seed-bearing plant? You know, they'll look at the biblical context and say, it's not alterated, we're not cooking it.
You got to smoke it. You added the fire.
Right.
Well, got, what,
and hydroponics itself is all about altering the drug itself, altering the plant to become more and more
potent.
Yeah,
we're not talking about that, though.
Well, so it's what scriptures do people use? I've heard it before, but it's been so many years since I've even... It's not been on my radar, even. What scriptures do people use when they talk about biblically staying away from things like marijuana?
Judge not, lest ye be judged.
No, I mean, there's like actual... Isn't there some obscure Deuteronomy or something? I don't even know. I can't tell you. It's just not on my radar.
So in Genesis, and God said, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food.
Not for smoke.
So edibles are in.
Edibles are in. As long as you eat the marijuana, it's fine.
But I mean, you take that same principle and get rid of aloe. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are using aloe for skin rashes. Hey, is that biblically wrong?
You ever tasted aloe?
No.
It is straight up nasty.
I've never tried
it. Nasty.
Why have you tasted aloe?
Because we had an aloe plant, and I had
and
like
you took a bite of it.
I did.
I accidentally took a bite of the plant.
Marijuana makes you want a snack.
I had a sunburn, and so, like, I cut off a little thing.
You were totally not understanding the application of aloe. You put it on the burn.
Yeah, I know. I put it on the burn, and I rubbed it in, and then, like, within a few minutes, I happened to lick my finger.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
See, it's way more legitimate. I didn't, like, tap it.
I was just thinking you cut off a piece, started rubbing, and was just like,
I had sunscreen, then I ate it, and it didn't work.
I thought it was like a kinker store.
I still got a burn.
I thought it might be burned on the inside, too.
What does the FDA know? I'll do what I want.
Yeah,
but I mean, tell me that's not the deal, though, right? Like it's from what I because I talked to a guy who's a good Jesus man. He used to be kind of up in the drugs, and he said the problem is most or all of the current marijuana that's being used for drug purposes has been genetically altered, right? Like it's they've mated two plant species together that they don't mate on their own. It's synthetic. So synthetic's the problem, right? Like if it was, I don't know. I mean, if it was straight out of the ground, God
style. So is
wheat.
The wheat you eat today is not the same wheat. It's not heritage wheat.
How about the herbal stuff? And you take like a drink and you're like an energy drink or something that has herbal. Is that altering? Is that bad?
So obviously,
I take some of that.
So here's what I was thinking: is altering's obviously not bad, right?
I don't know.
They drank wine for a reason.
Yeah.
So wine was permissible.
Bibbery.
Yeah. The drunkard is a fool, not the drinker.
Right. Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Okay.
That's where it comes to so the excess is the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a level. So we're all right with it.
I don't really care. I don't care.
I don't care.
For the blind leading the blind here.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Here's the deal. Like, if a guy came to me and be like, I love Jesus, I smoke weed on occasion in a legal state, whatever. I don't care. I mean, here's what I told the guy. There's a guy that I knew. I was good friends with him, and we kind of got into accountability action, right? And, He used to go to the bar a lot. And I said, you get drunk there? He goes, no, I quit drinking, but I go. I still go on occasion. And I said, what are you doing there? He goes, I like the social interaction or whatever. I said, is your behavior there God-honoring? I said, are you honoring God when you go? I said, I don't really care that you go, but it's just a bar, but are you honoring God when you're there? He said, no. I said, don't go there. Get out, right? And so, like, I kind of find the same thing to be true with this, right? If it's not an idol, if you're not placing it in the place of God, if you're not using it to nefarious means, and if you can honor God while being part of it, I guess I don't see the problem.
Yeah,
I would agree with that,
Nathaniel. You want to rebut? You were against. No one else give a rip.
Yeah, bro.
I lean toward against.
Dan's against.
Yeah, Dan's against.
It's you and Dan.
But based on
why though, Dan?
That's what I'm saying. I need to research this.
Okay.
He doesn't know.
Spider sense, all right?
Spider sense?
Spidey sense.
I got quite a few friends who smoke the marijuana. We're not in a legal state, but nobody smokes just a little marijuana. No one just takes one hit and says, well, man, I'm good. That's enough for me. And so it does put you in a different state of mind.
So does wine.
Exactly. But like... The difference is like you can drink and not get drunk, but you can't smoke and not get high. No one does that.
Is that a disagreement, Buva?
Yeah, absolutely. I would completely disagree with both those statements. I think that there are people who do control themselves while on marijuana. I don't think it's just to get completely high and where they can't make decisions.
I mean, they can obviously still make decisions.
Right, but it's not
high.
It's not like the, yes, yes, they are high. But what's the problem with being high? So the contact high that you get from smoking marijuana, what is the problem with that?
It slows down your decision making. You're a danger to society.
I would completely disagree with that.
That's just foolish.
What basis do you have?
That is foolish. That is just foolish.
What basis do you have with you're a danger to society?
I'm assuming you have friends who smoke weed, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, like, my buddies who smoke weed, they're like talking to a roll of toilet paper.
I get that. If you've gone too far, but I have friends who have smoked weed that were just fine. Were perfectly fine at the level that they had gotten to.
So,
could make plenty fine decisions on their own. Didn't have a delayed reaction time. Weren't, like, driving 2 miles an hour and then missing a stop sign.
Well, that'll get you arrested.
They weren't doing that. They were perfectly acceptable and were able to control themselves.
So functioning alcoholism is okay because you seem to be able to get along
with
yourself.
You're not drunk at that. I mean, to what point is the drunkenness then? Drunkenness.
Oh, okay. So like, if you could get away with a blood alcohol of, say,
1.5.
Yeah. As long as no one notices, that's cool.
I'm not saying no one notices. What's the point where we've determined that it's bad? You tell me.
No, I asked. You didn't answer my question.
Well, okay, fine. What was your question?
I asked. So you're saying that it doesn't. The impact is when you notice it, when people will notice it. So as long he can drink whatever he wants, as long as no one notices.
Not necessarily the notice part. The fact that they're functioning.
That's what you told Nathaniel.
No, I told him that they are functioning. They can function just fine.
What is functioning?
Being the exact same that they were before they smoked marijuana.
So what was the difference between what you're saying and what I said? And actually, if they're the exact same, why would you waste the money?
Why would you smoke it?
I'm not saying it's a great life choice,
I'm the same.
I'm
$50 I ever spent. I'm the same.
I'm not saying that going out and hitting a bong is a great life choice. I'm just saying, where is the point where we've determined that it's a bad decision?
Every time this conversation goes around, Boova comes up with another way to intake marijuana. You know what I'm saying? You can cook it. You can hit a bong with it. You can buy it, smoke it.
I think one of the vaporizer traditionally yeah, has been
gas
like,
mask.
Yeah, yeah. In like the would it be the Galatians text the you got the fruit of the spirit and you got the isn't the deeds of darkness something like that. Anyway, there's a word sorcery that is comes from the word, you know, farm, like we get pharmaceutical and I've heard that argument before, but I don't know how far you take that cause, and maybe that's why somewhere down the line I just don't even take Tylenol unless I have to. But yet I'm on a blood pressure medicine that comes direct from the pharmacy. You know, I'd like to get off of that, but I probably ought to eat less and exercise more.
Right,
bummer.
Dude,
never mind.
Okay,
convicted.
Light me up.
I will be completely honest right now. You have completely lost me. What are you talking? So sorcery? What do you mean?
Okay, to avoid sorcery, there's a fruit of darkness type of thing.
Okay,
and that the root word is like something to do with the Greek word pharmaceo.
Okay.
Or something. You know, something. So I'm talking like out of memory here.
All right, I was gonna say I just wasn't following it from where you went from
and where we get
sorcery
the word pharmaceutical,
to pharmaceuticals. Okay,
and then people just talk. I've heard that argument before, like a long time ago. And
I'd have to look into that because that's
like, I really would like to.
That's a lot of issues because then
yeah, because then like where
you're tackling
kind of
most of.
So I've decided marijuana is a pharmaceutical, but you know Advil isn't. I don't know how that.
Exactly. My blood pressure medication is fine. Marijuana is not.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I know that's not a discussion.
Does that mean I'm a doer of darkness?
What are you doing?
I work for a pharmacy.
Yeah, you're a peddler.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You might be a sorcerer.
I'm a sorcerer.
Tie a oil stone around his neck.
Right. Here's the deal. Just to call us on an individual basis, we're just going to do this one-on-one. I don't think we can make a broad sweep.
Nope.
But you call us up, tell us your woes, and we'll tell you whether you can smoke the doob or not. Here's one other thing I'm going to tell you, though. I think acting like personal impact, or that whether other people are impacted by what you're doing is not a good measure as to whether it's good for you. Like there are plenty of sins that are self-protected,
yeah.
Right? It's not just because, hey, I'm not harming anybody else. I am harming myself. And so the level that says no one else is being harmed or impacted is not a good level as to what to indicate whether it's a problem or not.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's true. And like somewhat to Nathaniel's point, which sounded a little bit, you know, sixth grade hokey, but like, where are you deriving your peace? Where are you deriving your calm? Where are you deriving your strength? All those things. The Bible points you to the Lord in all those things.
Strength will rise as I wait. Well, never mind. I'm just going to take care of this.
Strength will rise.
I don't need to wait.
Strength will rise.
You know what? Forget it. But like I said, to Nathaniel's point, you're supposed to be deriving these things from God, and the Bible is very explicit about that. And so while it doesn't specifically say, whether you can smoke or intake bong style a marijuana plant.
Or edibles, or rub it on your skin or whatever.
Or Big League Chew or whatever, however you take it in. Chew and tobacco.
Vaporize your gas mask.
It doesn't specifically say yes or no against this, but what it does say is you're to be deriving these attributes from God. And so almost by de facto it's saying, look, if you're counting on these things to provide you with peace, calm, happiness, joy, whatever, you're just going to the wrong source.
That's a good point. I think that it comes down, it can be done in certain circumstances. In this, once again, my opinion, but in most circumstances, it's not going to work.
Yeah. I'll just remind me when I want to sin, I'll just come to you for advice.
Yeah. Yep, no problem. Hey, move it. I got you.
Can you hey. Niche out a little corner so that I'm allowed to do this thing?
Any chance I can justify your sin? Come on down to Boo.
I want
to
kill a guy.
And the thing is, you can't even use law, just because it's legal. So it's legal to have abortions. So does the Bible suddenly say, well, hey, it's legal. It's legal for two
men to
get married.
Look at the category Dan's plopped you into. You can't claw your way out of that stone cave.
I'm just saying we have to be careful. This is
that escalated
beyond
quickly.
Culture. What does the scripture quickly. Say? And I don't have a good answer.
Well, and I think the distinction oftentimes for me on that level was the only reason I had a problem with it was because it was illegal. Like you are disobeying the law of land intentionally, which is a bad witness. And frankly, just an overall problem. but Pat, I think it brings it more of a relevant day-to-day discussion when it is otherwise legal. The culture is saying it's okay, and then actually the conversation comes back sitting where it belongs, which is, is it permissible and beneficial?
Yeah. All so, right. Let's go back to the individual thing. Use call up one by one. Hey, my name is blank. I want to smoke X amount. Here's the state I live in, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Here's my relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. Done and done. You're listening to Life from the Path on lifefromthepath.org, broadcasting on the website from 9 to 10, 10 to 11. Who knows when we do things? I've been herbally taking in stuff.
Sorcerer.
We'll get there when we get there, man.
Also, real quick, a big shout-out to our sponsors. We are kept on the air by the Eisenlauer team, Bob Eisenlauer with the Eisenlauer team. If you go to EisenlauerTeam.com, you can get a hold of Bob. He can help you buy or sell a house. Now may or may not be the time to do so. I don't know. That's why we have Bob. It's not my job to know real estate stuff. We just call Bob. So give Bob a call. If nothing else, shoot him an email. Give him a phone call. Say, hey, thanks for sponsoring Life from the Path. Also, Westfield Veterinary Hospital, if you go to westfieldvethospital.com here in Johnston, and they can help you with all your pet needs. It's the start of the new year, and there's things you've been putting off, and it's time to get them done. Take Fido in. Get the nails clipped. Get the teeth brushed. Get that thing removed. Whatever it is the problem's going on, it's time to get that going on. And call Westfield Vet Hospital. Those guys are great. They'll help you make the right decisions for you, your pet, and your pocketbook. And just give them a call. Tell them thanks for sponsoring Life in the Path.
That's sharp.
Yeah.
Every time you talk about them, I think, man, I haven't taken my dog in for years.
You're guilty, Dan.
I am guilty. I'm like that guy. I'm the guy you're targeting.
That's me.
So I got a little bit of Pope style advice, and then we got some Dear Life from the Past to answer.
Let's hear it.
But I was. So I've been on kind of a roll about talking to people about Jesus lately. You know what I'm saying? Like. I've engaged a couple fellas in it, some people that had no idea about Jesus, some folks that had some rough church backgrounds and that kind of thing, and I just feel like like God had got me through some conversations. It's gone pretty well, and then one came up where I was kind of talking to him about Christ, and they were not having it, they weren't having it at all, and it. I don't know. It basically turned out that like I had picked the wrong time, and I had stuck my foot in there, and I decided it was Jesus time, and like they were not open to hearing it at all, and I don't know exactly what I don't know. I was on some kind of previous success high that I come rolling in there, and I'm going to do this, And I thought, well, Jesus breaks through walls. You know what I'm saying? Like where the Spirit leads, I feel like the Lord will open doors. Well, I should have asked him whether he was going to do it today and prayed about it before I rolled in there, and I did not. And so it's kind of a short Pope-style advice, but what it really is use some discernment and some wisdom. Like, the book of Proverbs is a big book, and a good portion of it is about wisdom and the fear of the Lord is where wisdom starts. And so the reason he presses on that so hard is that your ideas are not always the greatest. And that's where you gain wisdom from Christ on how to get some things done. And I don't know, it was a huge mistake what I did. And it wasn't a mistake talking about Christ. That wasn't the problem. The problem is that I used no discernment walking in there. And I'm not saying that you need to shy away from situations where the gospel is not going to be accepted, because that's pretty much your whole life. No matter when you talk about Jesus, you're drawing a line right in the sand, and whoever's in the room is going to pick a side, and they're going to get on one side or the other. And it's just going to happen. That's what happens when Christ's name is said. If you're going to personally disciple somebody, and if you're going to talk to them about Christ, it's a very good idea to pray before you go in and literally ask if this is the time. Because, like, the Paul style is, it's what we were almost talking about earlier, right? Like God uses people how he chooses to use people. Don't think just because you read the tail part of the New Testament and you love Paul the way Paul does things that you're the new Paul and you're going to go around start yeah. whooping on folks. You know what I'm saying? It's just not the way that it works, right? He's designed you to be who you are and to reach who he's put you around. And ask him how he wants that done. And so, like I said, don't back away from preaching the gospel, but use a little wisdom and use a little discernment. If someone is in the middle of raging and half blown up on whatever they're blown up on and just cannot see the light side of life for nothing, and they are not interested in you, your Jesus, or any of the platitudes that they've heard for the last 15 years, just shut your mouth. Job style, right? Like, this is one of the best advice that I ever saw in the Bible is... And they screwed it up later, but Job's three buddies show up, right? And after Job just got everything taken from him, and they said nothing, right? They just sat there for, I think it was like a week or 10 days. Like, it was an awesome amount of time, right? And they did nothing but sit there and just be with him, right, without opening their mouth.
Yeah.
And now, granted, their blowhardedness pretty much screwed it up later. But the initial act of just showing up, leaving your ego at the door, and just sitting there and being with somebody to show that you care about them, that speaks a lot more volume of the love of Christ than I think is opening your blathering mouth. And so I made that mistake this week, and I don't know. I've had to ask for forgiveness from both the party involved and my father because I shouldn't have done it. It was a mistake. And like I said, it wasn't because I was talking about Jesus. It was just because I walked in there without him, and that was a problem.
Yeah.
And so that's my Pope style advice. Don't ever shy away from the gospel, but make sure it's being preached how Christ wants it to be preached. And when it's time to be bold, be bold. Don't hide behind it. But when it's time to ask for discernment and wisdom, shut your mouth and do it.
Yeah, I think that's solid. I think a lot of times we get real frustrated with people, especially people who are living lives that you know are destructive to them, when they're not receptive to Jesus, and have no patience for that. We're like, but I explained this to you. Like, what's the deal? Why hasn't everything, you know, flipped around in your life?
I said Jesus already. What else do you want to know?
And you know, it reminds me of something that showed up in something I was writing a few weeks ago. But, like, my patience is so terrible, and I have to be reminded of when I say God's mercies are new every morning, like, some of those mercies were for me. I mean, they're like, every morning they're for me, right? But, like, there was a point in which I needed those mercies until the point in which I turned around and recognized that they were actually for me, right? I didn't realize that every morning that was happening. And then I get frustrated when, like, people don't see the same thing, or they don't do the same thing, or they don't react in the same way. And, like, I have nowhere near the patience that God has with people. I want to be able to say something, and I want them to hear it, and I want to say, that's true. This means the following things in my life. I'll change immediately.
That's right. I told you about Jesus. Let's get into accountability group. Let's get this thing moving. I'll see you on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's not really the way that it works, you know?
Yeah, I ran into this quite a bit when I was talking with my older brother. After our parents passed away, I ran away from God, and so did he. And by the grace of God, I ran back. And then I saw his life, and I saw how much stress and pain and anger he was in, and I wanted to just give him the grace of God from me, not from God. I wanted to give him the gospel from Troy, not from Jesus. And it was just kind of like, you know, hey, God, I really appreciate the fact that you've worked so much in my life, but hey, man, can you work on his life, like, now? And do it through me, because I'm going to talk to him every single day. And it took me stepping back and really praying to God, God, if you want me doing this, I'm going to do it. If you want someone else doing this, get me out of here, take me away, move me if you need me moved. And it really... really put some patience in my life when it came to preaching the gospel to somebody over and over and over and over and over again and talking to them over and over and over again. So I appreciate where you're coming from with that, and I really 100% agree with what you said, Mike.
That's good.
Why are we so, oh, stupid?
That's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
No, I'm not saying me specifically. I said us.
No, yeah, Buva. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
exactly. We are either so zealous we're annoying or so apathetic that we're just letting people burn. And like why don't we keep it the medium, you know, in the middle ground where we're just waiting for the Holy Spirit to say, this guy needs Jesus. I'm on it.
That's no fun.
I know. We I don't know. Just drives me crazy about myself.
Sorry for my stupidity, guys.
I don't know. Well, I don't know, Ben. What do you want me to say to that?
I don't know. It's stupid. It's a stupid thing to say.
You probably could have chose a better word.
Here we go. Dear Life from the Path, my wife of 37 years has an exciting career she loves. Unfortunately, her job is 80 miles away from home. We own a condo in her work city, so recently when she was complaining about the commute, I suggested she stay there for a week, then telecommute home from home for a week. She loves the new schedule. I, on the other hand, am kicking myself. I have recently started working again at 62, and I'm lonely. It's depressing to come home to an empty house every other week, but I'm the one who suggested it. Her job could last another 2 to 5 years. We have 5 grandchildren who live close by, so moving to her location isn't an option. What do I do about this?
You moved to her location?
Yeah.
It is an option.
He said it's not, because the grandchildren and whatnot.
You can't have everything.
Hey, man, 80 miles is a spit in the fan. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah, it's not that far.
Yeah. I mean,
hour and a half?
Yeah. I mean, if you're willing to break a couple speed laws, that's an hour. You can get there an hour and 20 minutes.
Just don't do it with marijuana.
Yeah.
Right.
It'll keep the weed on you. Big league chew. You know that's funny.
Well, in so many forms that we could explain. Yeah, no, 80 miles is nothing for a commute. That's ridiculous. Yeah, you move to her if it's really that big of a deal where she loves it.
And just do it for the week.
Right.
Go back and forth.
Go back for the weekend if you really enjoy your place with your grandkids.
You need to sell one of those. It's ridiculous. You have 2 places 80 miles apart.
You just recently got a job at 62, which means you're not probably that vested in the job. So,
he's a Walmart.
Yeah, just
buggy guy.
Yeah, exactly. Just move.
What? Why would you say that about him?
Maybe
he's a woodworker.
Okay, see if he can find another job. I mean, the guy can't have everything, obviously.
Your advice is to uproot your entire life? That's what you're saying?
His wife did it.
No, she didn't. She's been doing the same thing for years.
Well, if she's been doing the same thing for years, she can either go back to that and drive every day, or he can drive. One or the other.
Yeah, or compromise. Go 3 days instead of 5.
Yeah.
Break it up a little
bit. And they obviously let her work from home. She should just work from home all the time.
I don't know.
Of a non-issue. Use your brain, dude.
Why is he so stupid?
Just make it a decision.
I agree. It's a non-issue, man.
This is what happens when you have too much marijuana.
You from Colorado, sir? Yeah, just make a decision. You can't have everything. Compromise.
Oh, man. The advice you give is depressing. Here's
What are you going to say?
Here's what Secular says. You tell your wife that although you suggested she stay in the condo for a week at a time, it isn't working out for you, and you're miserable without her.
Oh, that did.
Wait. Or you accept that a 160-mile daily commute may have become too much for her and fill your lonely hours by getting a hobby and babysitting some of those grandchildren whose parents might like some adult time together. But the one thing you shouldn't do is sit and silently brood because it isn't healthy.
Hey, baby. I could tell you truthfully that I miss you, and I'd like to talk through this, or I'm going to get a hobby. I decided on model airplanes. I've replaced my wife every other week with model planes.
Aces.
That's not the best advice.
No, I mean,
it's a win.
Here's the deal. She put it in a way that it makes it sound worse than it is, but like, I think any woman would appreciate the conversation that said, you know, I mentioned this to you because I wanted to help you out, but to be honest, I miss you. I miss you. Can we talk through, see if there's a way that we can do this? Because, frankly, I just miss being around you. That's a sweet conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Who doesn't want to be missed?
Yeah, exactly.
No one ever knows if I'm gone.
You know what? You can just stay there. Me and Peppy the plane are going to just hang out.
I made your plane for when you come back. You're really going to like it.
You want to go to the Quick and Go plane? You want to go to the Quick and Go? Let's get a hot
dog. Hop in the truck.
I'll paint your new tail.
Yeah. I love conies. How do you feel about conies?
I'm for them.
Wait, have you been in the edibles?
Dear Life from the Path, my niece had a bridal shower last March. When thank you notes didn't arrive for the gift she had been given, she said they were lost in the mail. and she would thank everyone in her wedding thank yous. Life from the Path, she was married last May, and she hasn't sent out thank you notes for her wedding gifts either. The gifts my parents and I gave her were expensive, and I'm upset about it. By the way, she wasn't too busy to write them because she doesn't work. Should I confront her or let it go?
Okay, Big Bridges.
Yeah, grow up. I'm sorry.
Let it go.
Grow up.
Yeah. I'm sorry not everyone is as cool as you.
I didn't get a thank you note for something I did for someone that's supposedly a present for something that they did. Should I complain about it? No, grow up. You're ridiculous.
Hey, calm down.
No, that's ridiculous.
Everyone has different forms of sin, Troy. Hers is just self-centeredness.
I know, and that's why I'm telling you.
You could pray for it instead of getting all upset like a pet rock.
Upset like a pet rock?
Yeah, that you know that's bad. Pet rocks generally
I really want you to think through that.
No, I said it right.
You're getting all jazzed up. You should smoke marijuana, but not,
I know, right? Now calm me back down, as long as I don't get super high.
Yeah, but if you get calm, then we'll know you're overindulging.
That's true.
No, I've taken away.
Man.
Yeah. Well, actually, my advice, I think, is more than that. It's not just let it go, but, like, change your personality. You're abrasive and difficult. No one likes you.
Be a different person.
Be a different person entirely. Like, I'm not going to tell you how to do that. Just do it.
This is the problem that I have with some people, because they point back to things like Jeremiah, and they say that he knit you in your mother's womb. And, like, God did not create that right there. That you were not knitted in your mother's womb for that type of behavior. It's not right. No, people always use that. They use it carte blanche until some goon shows up.
Oh, God made me this self-centered.
Yeah, he let someone else knit me on that day.
No.
Here's what, Nathaniel, you got something to add on there?
However, it's nice that you buy an expensive present for people.
Unless you only buy it to get the thank you note. Thanks for the expensive gift.
Here's the thing. You're right.
This person had a collection of thank you notes through the years. I mean...
I'm making a quilt out of thank you notes that I've gotten from all the awesome presents I've given.
I get thank you notes and I think, really, you wasted that time writing a note and putting a stamp on it, and now I'm just going to throw it away.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I gave it to you because I wanted to. I could give a rip if you acknowledge it.
Yeah,
hold on.
I'm different. I understand I'm different there.
Sometimes I think it's a little different. Like, if it was at a wedding and you gave it to them, like, on the table, I think you're fine there. If you mailed it and you just want to make sure they got it, that's maybe something a little bit different.
Yeah.
At least an acknowledgement. Hey, thanks.
Yeah, hey, I got it.
On Facebook.
Why do you have to be on Facebook, Dan?
I don't know. It's free.
Tell people talk.
That's true. It is free.
A text.
I actually, it's to the same extent, like people, especially if you gave a thank you card or even, where like you didn't write anything in it. It's just like a standard issue thank you. Hey, thanks. Oh, good. That means so much to me. Thank you.
This summer, I went to my roommate's wedding. And I brought him a present, and I didn't, like, when I came back to school the following semester, he gave me a card that said thank you, and until that moment, I didn't even realize people gave, like, thank you cards for that sort of stuff. I was like, I thought that's just what we did here. Showed up, didn't realize I got a card back for this.
You kind of have to feel that out in different social circles, you know? Like, you meet new people or whatever, and you go to different events, you'll be like, so what's the protocol here? Do we do thank you notes here, or, you know, do we all sit down after the head lady sits down or whatever? You got to kind of get attuned to that kind of stuff because people take it pretty offensive, like this gal.
Yeah. I couldn't even remember what I got him until I saw it in the card again.
Well, I was really thoughtful.
Thanks for the She-Ra pillow. you're welcome.
Appreciate that pet rock. It was kind of sassy.
Here's the secular's advice. Your sibling did a poor job of raising her daughter. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's kids real. That's real bad news. If your niece didn't know that thank you notes were supposed to have been sent for her shower gifts, she wouldn't have lied about them having been lost in the mail. However, I see nothing to be gained by confronting her. If you do, it will cause your sibling to become defensive, mostly because you will be offensive. Now, I added that. Better to make note of it and respond accordingly when the baby shower invitations start coming in because they're sure to come next. So really, if you're going to take this tack, do you not give a baby shower gift just because you didn't get a thank you note for your wedding gift?
I feel like this person might do that.
You might not understand the point of giving gifts. You just might be errored in your thinking. The point of giving gifts is for you to give something to somebody else because you wanted to, and not to reciprocate with a piece of paper that says, thanks, man, I got it.
This one, it would be nice to have like a woman or two on the path because
we're
totally got men view on this. We're like, whatever.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for holding down the male race. Absolutely, yes. That's what we're like.
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. If you're on 99.3 KTA, thank you for listening, but we got to let you go. If you want to listen to more of the show, which I think is, this week, it just could be a mistake. But if that's what you want to do, you go to livefromthepath.org, sign up for the podcast. We got a lot more show to go. We'll see you on the flip side. Have a good week.
All right, Mike, you got some more stuff?
Yeah, I got some more stuff.
Okay.
Here's the deal, though. You boys are going to have to pep it up a little bit.
Hey, check this out.
Hey, why don't you read that Gospel Coalition article like I asked?
For the recreational marijuana?
Yeah.
It's huge.
Well, I said to truncate it.
I got time to...
You truncated it by not reading any of it.
I don't have time to, like, read this giant article and truncate it in a span of a minute or two.
You could
have
read some of it.
Okay, check this out.
Hey, boys, marijuana, go.
What? Share the thoughts of others so that you could, like, either...
Yeah, we need a starting off point. Otherwise, we'd be running our own show, man.
So look at the top five... top six verses of the year as shared on the YouVersion Bible.
Okay.
Okay? Let's see if you see a theme here. Number one, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I knew it.
Okay. Two, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Three, 1 Peter 5, 6. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Four, Isaiah 41, 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Do you see a pattern?
That's what I call it, the you version.
Yeah. Hey-o.
This Bible will be about me.
Man. You just know that's not. They're not using that stuff right. That makes me sad.
There, live from the path. I met a guy I think is perfect for me on a dating website. We have gone on several dates and they have been great. He respects my morals and even has some of his own, which isn't easy to find.
A few. He has some.
The problem is, he says I'm exactly what he has been looking for except for one thing. I look like his mom. He says he really likes me and would like to keep dating to see if he can get past this issue. I like him very much. Is there something I can do short of plastic surgery?
Is his name McFly?
Yeah, I'd stop watching Days of Our Lives and get your hair out of a beehive. To start, put on some fancy new modern clothes with some tears in the jeans. That ain't no mom. No,
that's our advice is to the woman to change her appearance.
Change your ways,
not cool. To the joke of a man that says, hey, man, I really like you a lot. Like, I like a lot about you, except you kind of look like my mom.
Hey, tell me that wouldn't be hard to get past. You know what I'm saying?
That'd be creepy.
No one wants to date their moms.
You got to split up.
Okay, but think
why
about this.
Why is that not a game ender for you, Booba? That's weird.
I just can't imagine she looks that much like his mom.
What if she does?
I read an article one time. Okay. And it said that we're attracted to people who look kind of like us. And so if she looks like his mom,
dang it, my wife's ugly. Sorry, continue.
If she looks like his mom, then she kind of looks like him because he's a genetic product of his mother. And so that could be a reason.
So he secretly loves himself.
Correct.
It's an dun, ego dun, thing.
Bingo.
Papa Narciss.
Yeah.
He reading like articles.
That. Yeah.
Hey, you look like my mom. Hey.
Dump this guy right now. He can't be trusted.
He's a loser.
Hey, you look like my mom, which means you look like me, and I love myself.
I really wish they provided a picture. I'm really interested in how close this is. Like, either it's real close, it's creepy, and you need to break up, or, like, it's not close, and this guy is creepy. Like, he sees his mom and everything.
That's my thought.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that they look that much alike. He's just kind of... insinuating that they look together, like
maybe she's of Indian, Southern Indian descent, and all white people look the same. She's dating a white man, very much to our and other cultures, they tend to look the same. It's one of those deals.
Yeah,
I think
we're gonna blow right past that one, and I think.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. You're a victim of cultural amalgamation. You look like all the others.
You look like... Jesus.
Hey, listen.
You all look the same.
You want to pretend that's not the thing. It's a thing. I'm just saying, I'm trying to give the guy a reasonable excuse on why he's acting this way.
He doesn't have one.
His mom would have to be. That's like he's dating an Indian woman. Dots, all
right? Right.
He's dating a continent Indian, and his mom is also a continent Indian, but he's not. And he can't tell the difference between Indians.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
What a windfall. You know what I'm saying? How could it possibly happen?
Here's what he has going on. For the first time in his life, previously he was looking at women for something he might get out of them. And now for the first time he's calming down, settling down, thinking this might be a long-term thing. And now he's thinking differently. And he's like, oh, wow, she looks like my mom.
You kind of look like my mom.
Yeah, that's it.
Did you make a dot, not the feather comment, by the way?
Continent. He said continent Indian.
Yeah.
You said dot.
Yeah, dot.
Whatever, man. Okay.
Whatever, man. I have a 5-year-old that talks like that.
Whatever.
Here we go. The advice is, before changing anything, you need to explore more closely what he's saying. Ask to meet his mother. Ooh. It's like some kind of weird mirror place at the amusement park.
I have met her.
Do you have any pictures of your mom?
We were in the same outfit.
Because I'm the same woman. Ask to meet his mother, and then judge for yourself how strong the resemblance is. It's possible the similarity is less physical, more about your personality, your mannerisms.
Wait, but then what? Then what's supposed to happen? Let's say you meet her and you are strikingly similar. What is the advice?
I would change my hairstyle immediately.
Yeah, you got to change that business. Unless she's ultra hip chic.
No, you don't give up who
what
you are.
She, what if you don't look nothing like her?
You don't. You break up either way.
Yeah,
I think
you got a weird
this
dude.
Relationship is doomed.
No, I agree.
I think
you're
it's
out.
Time to get out.
There's no reason to stay in
there. If you don't look like her and he thinks so, he's a creeper. If you do look that much like her, that's going to be weird for the whole time you're married. You got to get out of it.
Yeah. He'll never get past it.
Break
here's
it
something
up.
Every woman goes through, though. They keep the hairstyle of their high school, and then it takes sometime around 30 or 35, one of their good friends who's, will be honest with them, says, you know, that's over. And then they look in the mirror and say, oh, you're right. Every woman goes through that. And no one went.
Dan,
no one,
how do you have that information?
Here's what I'm going to do.
I know a lot of women.
I'm staying out of that completely.
And no one has talked to this woman about her hairstyle. She really does have her mother's hairstyle.
Dear life from the past.
Wait a minute. So you think she styles like an old woman? That's what you're saying?
She's still living 20 years ago thinking, oh, yeah, this is really cool. It was cool 20 years ago.
Doesn't fashion come in every 20 years?
It's
cool in the 80s, and it's cool in the early 2000s.
There's always a twist.
Even if that's true, though, that means he's dating a woman who can't keep up with the times.
That's what I'm saying.
Why is that a problem?
They don't see it. They're blind to it until they look around and go, oh, wait, you're right.
I still wear a three-button Henley. Cool in the mid-90s.
You don't wear a three-button Henley.
If I could afford a three-button Henley, I'd still wear one. I still think they look hip. But I can't.
Doesn't that just make you a hipster?
No. Makes me an alternative cool.
Yeah.
Hipster.
Dear life from the path, my parents divorced many years ago, and ever since, I have lived with my mother and visit Dad on his days off from work. Mom cheated on Dad, and the man she cheated with lives with us. Ooh. I don't have a good relationship with her boyfriend. We don't have much in common, and when he drinks, he gets angry for no reason and takes it out on me or Mom, and puts the whole household in an awkward position, sometimes lasting for days. When he's sober, he can be pretty fun to be around. I've talked with my mom about this. She promises she'll talk to him and things are going to change, but they never do. She doesn't want to break up with him because she can't afford to pay the mortgage on her own. I've thought about moving in with my dad, but I don't want to upset her. What do I do?
She's not worried about upsetting you. Move. Get out. How old is she?
It didn't say.
She's pretty observant. She's 16.
Yeah.
She needs out.
Yeah, she needs to get out of there. The mom's not going to find... I mean, if she's justifying this behavior so far and is saying behind her back, yeah, absolutely, I'll talk to him.
She put this creep in front of
something
in front of her daughter.
Right, exactly. Something has to happen. Drastic has to change for her to honestly see the repercussions of her actions, which is letting this dude stay and staying with the guy. Regardless of mortgage payments, you can work your way around that.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a fun situation no matter what, but you can work your way around it. She needs to get out of the house.
Yeah, I mean, the guy displays all the earmarks of a low-quality man. You know what I'm saying? A, willing to break up a marriage. Fun to be around when he's sober. Abusive when he's drunk. There's both the words drunk and abuse in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, he influencing a young girl as the father type figure. Like, she has no business in that house. The mom is obviously fooled. And, I mean... It's almost the same thing we were talking about our Jesus discussion. Sometimes you want something so bad for somebody, and they're not interested, and they're not accepting it at the time, and you just have to leave them be. And so, like, that's a hard decision, and I understand that you don't want to hurt your mom. But, like, if an honest conversation of there's nothing healthy about this, why don't you leave with me? We'll find an apartment. We'll figure out the bills. And if she's not willing to make that move with you, then you just got to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the thing is – There is a point in which you have to, you don't have to give up on people as far as their relationship with God and continuing to share with them and continuing to care about them and love them, but you do have a responsibility to protect yourself. It is not necessary to put yourself, and I don't mean at risk like in your personal wealth or whatever, but like you don't have to stick yourself in what is obviously an unhealthy situation simply because you think that is what God is asking you to do. To be able to have the gospel communicated there, like that is,
it's generally not consistent with what God is asking. Is for you to stay in a situation that is that type of harm where people aren't listening and they're not paying attention to you, just because there might be an opportunity down the road. It's just not required of you.
Secular says, your mother hasn't asserted herself with her boyfriend because she's financially dependent on him. She's afraid if she insists he do something about his drinking, he will leave her. The affair and the boyfriend were her choice, not yours. If you want to move in with your father to avoid being around a verbally abusive drunk and your father is willing, that's what you should do. You should not have to tolerate abuse in order to not to upset your mother. It's okay to take care of yourself. Yeah, that's true. You're not the fixer here. Like some, there's five decisions you made that you can't control, but you can control your own decisions. And
yeah.
So,
yeah.
I get on that business.
Yep, I agree with that.
You got time for one more?
Yeah.
Dear Life in the Path, I am a 27-year-old mom who has always been overweight. I've tried all sorts of diets and programs and have lost a few pounds and then gained it all back and more. My boss offered to pay for me to have weight loss surgery. It is something I've always wanted but could never afford. My boss told me she knows the struggle I have had and the frustration I have experienced. My family is behind me and supports my decision to have it done. My concern is that once others in my office learn it was paid for by the boss, I'll be treated differently. I'm concerned about possible catty comments. Mm. They are gossips, and I hate being the center of attention in situations like that. The truth is bound to come out, so how can I comment on the gift I've been given?
I don't know. Don't be worried about offending a gossip. If they're already gossips, like you
they're already saying something.
Yeah,
yeah,
right. Yeah. They're likely talking about you anyway.
Yeah, this is something that's gonna happen. Absolutely. If when they find out, they're gonna gossip about you. Whatever. You need to weigh your priorities of what's gonna happen. It should not matter to you if this is something that you've been completely involved in. For as Mike is shaking his head right at me. What are you thinking, Mike?
Huh?
What are you shaking your head at me for?
I just wanted to see how long it would take for me to derail your comment just by shaking my head. No.
Wow. All right. Cool. Yeah. So this is something that you're going to have to personally prioritize. Is it worth it to you to really have these comments made about you or whatever? It doesn't seem like it should be a big issue at all. It's going to happen no matter what.
Here's what I would do. I would make up some juicier gossip about someone else and plant it a week before the surgery.
Anti-gossip.
So-and-so had relations with Michael Jackson. Go. And I would spread it about, and then my surgery would go unnoticed. And your thoughts?
I think that's a poor idea.
What do you know, Dan?
I think if this is something you're going to do, you do it. And you know, like Ben said, I mean, they're already gossips. You just don't worry about it. Don't worry about gossips. You just can't waste time worrying about gossips.
I'd be more worried that they were going to expect me to work there for X number of years.
Yeah, it does put you in an awkward spot.
I mean, look, 6 months later, people are like, hey, you get a new job offer, and then you're like, but I paid for your flat belly surgery.
Then
you know?
Say thank you.
Thank you for
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I never accept a car from a man. There's always expectations around it, you know?
I've been offered
absolutely.
A car.
Yeah, I agree entirely. I feel like there's always something just ready to drop on you when you borrow a car from somebody, especially when they're super cool about it.
Right on. Nathaniel, your thoughts on this thing?
So here's the thing. All the gossips and gifts aside, if this lady has tried diets before, and she's lost weight on them, but it's always come back, there is fundamentally an issue with her and this weight problem. And so even if she does get this surgery, statistically speaking, she's going to put the weight back on. And so it doesn't really matter whether they're going to be gossips or not. She's going to it's going to be a problem unless she like fundamentally changes the way that she feels about diet, exercise and food. That like
behavior,
it's
baby.
It's going to continue to be a problem.
Is Nathaniel right? Like let's say that I have a smoking problem, or is he going to solve it by cutting off my hands? No. I still have the addiction.
I will pay a very small man to hand me put cigarettes in my face.
And then
light me another.
Like, does it really matter at that point? If Mike's friends are going to say, "Hey, Mike chopped off his hands, but he had the boss pay for it."
Yeah.
Like that doesn't matter because like he's going to find a way to smoke anyway.
I agree.
Is it moving the needle or changing the scenery? That's the question, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's above my head what you said there, but I agree with Nathaniel and Ben. Bova, you want to throw your 2 cents worth in?
All right.
With the current exchange rate, it's worth about half penny.
Nice, Mike. Okay.
Wait, was that a Popeye? Popeye's like a...
It wasn't a Popeye. That's why it didn't sound like
it. It sounded like... Oh, never mind.
It was a Joe Cross.
Oh.
Joe Cross.
Moving on.
So in my life, obviously, I've struggled with the weight loss and everything like that, and I agree entirely. You have to have the mentality that you're ready to change. You have to have the mentality that this is done. This is not just something that you're doing for the next 6 months, and once the weight loss is done, you're done. This is something you need to change your lifestyle and change your habits for the rest of your life. Do I think that surgery can help? Yes. I think in certain circumstances, it's definitely beneficial, and it helps quite a bit. But do I think that it becomes a failure for a lot of people because they think that it's just an exit door to their weight loss problems and then they don't have to do anything else after that? Absolutely. I think that it really depends on her thoughts when it comes down to how she's going to change her life. The weight loss surgery will be the first step, not the only step.
Here's Secular's advice. It says, you have a generous and empathetic boss who obviously cares about you. Unless one of you reveals that she paid for your surgery, the truth is not bound to come out. How your operation is paid for is nobody's business.
I don't know who's asking that.
Hey, isn't man, that... Jan got surgery. Did the boss pay for
it? Yeah. who foot the bill for that one?
Yeah, that never crosses my mind.
We have the same surgery. Salary. There's no way she can afford that.
Actually, I would think that. Like, if people get big health stuff done at my work, I'm like, how'd you pay for that? Our health insurance stinks. I do that all the time.
So here's what you need to do. You need to make sure that if you are going to get a life-altering surgery and your boss is going to pay for it, make sure you're not at the same workplace as Mike Foost.
Yeah.
Because he will ask you about it, and the truth will come out that the boss paid for it, and therefore he will gossip about you.
Chris, why does anyone have to know you had that surgery?
I think it's going to be obvious.
Yeah, so take a week it's off, normally pretty obvious.
A week?
How long do you take
I dropped 150 pounds in a week.
It takes you a while. You just start eating less. I mean,
right, but... I've seen.
Wait. Hold on. Is it the lap band or the suction?
I don't.
Doesn't say.
Well, either way, it's pretty drastic, and you can most of the time tell. A lot of stuff changes. A lot of stuff changes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, usually
thank
you. Have it
thank you for that confusing affirmation to my story, Ben. That was great.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. Yep.
Sure thing, buddy.
That's not right at all. I like
right
it.
Up there.
I can't believe you would ask somebody.
Hey, man, you seem to have lost a lot of weight. Did you get the surgery and or did the boss pay for it?
Hey, people ask that stuff.
No, they don't.
Your caddy workplace.
It's not a caddy. I simply want to know. Our health insurance is so abysmal.
You're like,
I'm interested where you keep thousands of dollars.
What kind of guy goes around prodding to produce a HIPAA violation? Hey, release your information to me. Who paid for your surgery?
I need your medical history now.
All right.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's do one more. Ready?
Okay.
Dear Life in the Path, a cute little girl lives up the street from my husband and me and attends the same church we do. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, we taught her in a Sunday school class. At the time, she developed a crush on my husband. We both laughed about it and then thought it was sweet. Fast forward 3 years, and it's not so sweet anymore. It's downright awkward. She runs up to my husband multiple times while we're at church while ignoring me. Last Sunday, she turned to me as she did it and announced, "He's mine." I stood there thinking, no, he's mine. I know this jealous reaction may seem silly, and I'm trying hard not to feel this way, but it felt like I was fighting over my husband with an 8-year-old. He is aware of her crush and how I feel about it, but he doesn't want to hurt her feelings. Her mother knows about the crush, and we shared a laugh early on. What can I do? Would speaking to the girl's mother help? What should I say, or would it make things more awkward? Hey, man. This kid's 8. 8. I don't even know what to say. Like,
the girl's not even double digits yet.
I feel like my marriage can sustain a crush from an 8-year-old boy and my wife. I mean, if it was a dude, though, I'd talk to him and be like, listen, that's my wife. But, I mean, 8. You don't have problems. You know what I'm saying? These are not problems.
No. No, that
you are blowing this way out of proportion.
No, you are.
No, I was. Thank you, Mike Foost.
You tell him.
To the woman who's getting jealous over an 8-year-old girl that has a crush on your husband, yeah, this is not an issue. This is not something that needs to be truly addressed. What needs to be addressed is your uncomfortability with the relationship that you have with your husband. If you feel like your relationship with your husband, the man who's married, is as fragile as to be completely shaken by an 8-year-old, that's where you need to start, not with the 8-year-old and her parents.
I don't know, she acknowledges that she may be overreacting.
that needs to be affirmed. Yes. You are overreacting. Yes. There's no maybe. You are.
Okay, so your explicit advice is?
I think that you need to have a conversation with your husband, and I think that you both need to talk about the fact that it is happening. You need to address him and let him know that you are getting jealous about it, and you need to talk about it as a relationship.
Oh, mercy, no. I wouldn't share that in public.
No.
With your husband?
No, no. Mercy. That's the last thing I want him hearing.
Bury it deep in your soul.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone your discretion. Carry that sin wagon with you.
Okay, dig on this for a second, right?
Okay.
Okay, every time the 8-year-old comes up, the lady asks her a bunch of like trivia notes that the 8-year-old would never know because she's 8, right? Until the 8-year-old is so embarrassed that she never comes around them ever again.
You want to shame the girl.
You want to just destroy an 8-year-old girl.
I mean, that's a viable option, I feel like.
12 times 6, loser!
No way!
I'm just imagining the husband.
Who's the third president?
Like game show cards, and then it's his wife and the 8-year-old girl, and they're competing.
So on looking at the husband, I feel like I would not, if it was a pretty noticeable slight to my wife for, like, years, I probably would have said something. You know, like... It makes me uncomfortable if I feel like my wife has been slighted, I guess. And it, obviously it's not a slight like the kid is being rude, but like, I don't know. If behavior is kind of how she's implying that it is, I'm going to doubt that it is. But if it was, I actually probably would have said something to the kid.
You know, that's almost a good point though, right? Like, because I make a point that my own kids know that my wife takes precedence at our house, right? And so it would be foolish not to do the same thing to other kids, right? Like, my relationship with my wife is number one. And so, like, I would almost go out of my way to hold her hand and have my arm around her every time that girl came around until it just goes away on its own. She's just an innocent little kid. She doesn't understand what she's saying. It's not any big deal. But, like, what you can do, especially in the church context, is show her what a love between a husband and wife is supposed to look like. And I mean, do it intentionally. It's going to be awkward. Maybe you're not constantly holding hands all the time, but do it for a little while. You know what I'm saying? Like, reinforce some values to her. And I understand it's weird and it's awkward, especially if this crush gets into, like, she's 11 or 12. Now you got kind of a bigger problem. So, I mean, it just needs to nip itself in the bud now. And I don't know. I just take the opportunity to show what a marriage looks like. Make your wife feel loved. She's obviously overreacting, but, I mean, the point of the matter is like, you guys can come together as a married couple and reinforce to that little girl what a good godly marriage looks like.
Yeah, I might say something like, if she comes up and hugs me and is like, oh, he's mine. Like, oh, I'm sorry, sweetie, but I'm already taken. That lovely lady over there does not share.
Yeah.
Might have a little laugh or something. I don't know. Like, there's ways to do that without
to... You don't have to hurt the little girl.
Yeah.
Just being a little girl.
I mean, you could kick her in the shin, but that's frowned on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not...
Take that, Michaela.
None of this is to say that I feel like the wife is not overreacting. She is totally overreacting.
Yeah,
I
agree.
But I think there's something the guy can do to kind of help that situation out.
Here was the secular's advice. The cute little neighbor girl is no longer 5. 3 years is a long time for a child to hang on to a crush. I don't think that's true. Because her behavior bothers you, tell her mother you find it excessive at this point and ask her to tell her daughter she's getting too old to act that way.
Isn't that the most awkward thing ever, though? Hey, I'm going to tell your mom, and the mom tells the kid, and then the next time that you have to look at that girl and know, hey, I was too much of a coward to talk to you directly about whatever this was. Wow. I told your mom.
That's some real catty business there. You know what I'm saying? You tell your 5-year-old daughter to stop looking at my husband. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, did you ever have a little crush on your teacher? I don't know if I ever did, but there were some teachers that were kind of attractive. I thought, oh, I kind of like, you know, she's kind of easy to look at. But then...
I'm sorry, Dan, go ahead.
No, what? I mean, as a little guy did I think, I have a chance with her.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, it was just like, oh, Mrs. Taylor. Right.
I'll have my mom pick you up later. We'll go to the...
Yeah.
Do you want to go to the DQ?
Want to go see 101 Dalmatians?
Right. You never looked... The theater. You never were under the impression that you and her had something special together.
No.
Do you want to get a blizzard? You have to pay. Yeah. I don't have a job.
Yeah. I'll take my dilly. 2 dillies.
I can stay up till 8:30 if that would make the difference.
If I do my homework, can we go get some mozzarella sticks?
Yeah, it's just a childhood little silly thing.
I call first tipsies.
Here,
shotgun.
Yeah, secular's advice was kind of lame. ran out to the mom. Come on, man. Act like a grown man. Here's the problem, man. I ran into this problem in the youth group, too. People, like, do a workaround when it comes to kids. You know what I'm saying? Will you just talk to the kid like they're an adult and save yourself 10 years of hassle? You know what I'm saying? You got to talk down to them or make some kind of go around or act like they're a different set of folks or the same set of folks. They're just 5 years behind in living. So start them out now. Talk to them like an adult. 8 years old. I have more intelligent conversations with my 5-year-old daughter than this kind of behavior that they're asking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, it's not appropriate for you to stick your nose in the middle of a marriage somewhere. It's just not. It's not perceived that way. I'd really like to, as her dad, I'd rather just see it and I'll address it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I should, if it was awkward, I as this little girl's father should be able to see that and say, you know, he's mine. Like, you can't really be sticking your face in there, hun. Here's the deal. Works just like your mom and I's marriage. You know, you can't be doing that.
You'll find your own person someday.
It'll be fine. You can do better than that guy. He's like 80. Obviously, he's in love with catty women. You know, you don't want to catch his eye.
All right, you guys want to take a real quick donkey quiz?
Yeah, better do it.
All right, so this traditionally about around 8,000 people have taken this quiz, and the answer or correct answer rate was 40%. It's not a high scoring quiz. Let's see how well the Life and the Path fellows know their donkeys. Biblical donkeys. Here we go. Number one. What did the sons of Jacob do with the flocks, herds, and donkeys of Shechem? A. Burnt them as a sacrifice to the Lord. B. Took them captive. C. Set them free. D. Separated the males from the females. What did the sons of Jacob do with the flocks, herds, and donkeys of Shechem? Burnt them as a sacrifice. Took them captive. Set them free. Separated the males from the females. You guys can play along at the home game.
They burn them?
I'm going with burn them. I'm pretty sure they took down the entire place.
Hey. They don't.
Yeah.
Bold, Nathaniel.
here we go. All right, we'll go with burn them as a sacrifice to the Lord. Two, what did Joseph's brothers load their donkeys with when they departed from Egypt to get their brother Benjamin? Gold, silver, corn, goods, and chattels.
Corn.
Ooh. I thought they were out of food.
Brothers, load the donkeys. It's when they left, when they departed from Egypt.
Oh.
That's gold. Silver. I think it's silver.
Yes.
Wait, the Pharaoh, right?
Yeah, Joseph kept Benjamin.
To go get the dad.
Yeah.
But he gave him...
grain, food.
Yeah, he gave him food.
And then
he slipped the silver
Joseph
in. The
valuable.
Yeah.
So the question is food.
Is it?
They came to get food.
But it wasn't corn. What were the choices again?
Gold, silver, corn, goods, and chattels.
What are chattels?
Slaves.
What? Is that slaves?
Chattels are slaves?
They don't put people in a bag.
Yeah, but
hold on.
Put that's slaves on a bunch of donkeys?
Strip them down to a donkey.
Chattel, something such as... Okay, well, it's not necessary. Something such as a slave, a piece of furniture, tool that a person owns other than land or buildings. Okay, just goods. Chattel slavery. It's slavery.
It's food. It's corn.
I'm going to go silver.
Silver. Nathaniel, you're the tiebreaker. Silver or corn?
I'm going to go with corn.
Okay.
Hey, go don't corn. Ever side with Dan.
All right. Number three. What did Joshua and his men do with the donkeys and herds in the city of Jericho? Slaughtered them with the sword, took them captive, set them free, burnt them as a sacrifice to the Lord.
I'm going to go slaughter them.
Slaughter with the sword?
Slaughtered.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
back
I,
it up.
I don't think there's any sacrifice in Jericho. I think it's slaughtered. Yeah. Okay. Number four, what did Joshua and his men do with the donkeys and herds in the city of Ai? Slaughtered them with the sword, took them captive, set them free, burnt them as a sacrifice to the Lord.
I think they set them free. That's where they got in trouble. They didn't follow the rule.
The city of Ai is the trouble? Yes. Men do,
I'll back that up.
Now I'm tempted to side with Dan.
All right.
Dan.
Set them free?
Set them free.
Yeah, set them free.
No wonder people get 40%.
Number five, what color were the donkeys in the song that Deborah and Barak sang when Sisera was defeated? What color were the donkeys in the song that Deborah and Barak sang when Sisera was defeated? Black, gray, brown, or white?
White. Dance with it, said white.
Sure.
Who's against it?
I'll go white. I have no idea.
White donkeys.
You never know what I'm saying.
You guys are bullied by confidence. Here we go. Six, which judge of Israel had 30 sons who rode 30 donkeys? Samson, Ehud, Jair, or Shamgar?
Ehud.
Ehud was the guy.
He's the fat man.
Eglon was the fat man.
Oh. Yep. King.
It's Jair.
Jair?
For sure. Jair.
Jair, 30 sons who rode 30 donkeys. Is it Jair?
Yeah.
I'm with Nathaniel on this one. Okay. As we're speaking of Dan the Wise.
I'm with Nathaniel.
What did Samuel tell Saul concerning the donkeys that Saul was looking for? Give no further thought to them, for they have been found. They are roaming wild in the Negev desert. I have sacrificed them to the Lord. Some tribesmen from the land of Shalem had taken them away. I think it's no further thought to them. Yeah. They've been found.
They've been found.
Hey, yeah. Man, the last two seem kind of sassy. What were the last two you said?
I have sacrificed them to the Lord.
Don't worry about them. I've already sacrificed them.
We're already selling donkey legs. Yeah.
Or I gave them to some other guy.
Here we go. What did Dag the Edomite do to the donkeys and herds in Nob, the city of the priests? Slaughtered them with the sword, took them captive, set them free, burnt them as a sacrifice to the Lord. So that was when he also killed the priest. Dag the Edomite was the guy that took out the priest that helped David. I think slaughtered.
Gotta be.
Yeah, so I'll go slaughtered.
Slaughtered them with the sword. All right. 9, when Abigail saw David for the first time, she turned her donkey around and went back to tell her husband. B, sent her servant to meet him, riding on a donkey. C, loaded her donkeys with gifts from David and went home. D, alighted from the donkey, bowing to the ground before David.
B.
D.
Bowing.
D.
Okay, D is alighted from the donkey, bowing to the ground.
Yep, that sounds right.
And Boo, you were in for B, sent her servant to meet him, riding on a donkey.
Yeah.
There's my man. Go see what he's up to. Wait. And that, right, that's his wife, right?
Yeah.
Abigail's his wife. Okay.
Yeah. Boo is sticking to his guns here.
Okay.
I am.
We're going with D. 10, final question. For what reason did the Shunammite woman ask her husband to send her one of the servants and one of the donkeys? So that she could load the donkey with gifts for Elisha? So that she could send her son to visit Elisha, so that she could send her servant to visit Elisha, so that she could travel quickly to visit Elisha. It's D.
Yeah.
She needed to get and visit D. Elisha
because the son was in trouble.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Let's see what happens. See if we did better than the 40%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not looking good.
Number 1, what did the sons of Jacob do with the flocks, herds, and donkeys of Shechem? We said burnt them as a sacrifice to the Lord. That was incorrect. The correct answer is took them captive.
That's what we said.
No.
Yeah, so you ran the quiz wrong.
Burnt them as a sack. I'm pretty... Wait. If I can do a Mike Foost impression, I'm pretty sure they wiped everything out. Everything.
Yeah, just because you're talking a dummy voice that sounds like me doesn't mean that's what I said.
They wiped out everything. Scratch my belly.
You're like that Johnny Five robot. You can't be trusted.
2, what did Joseph's brothers load their donkey with when they departed from Egypt to get their brother Benjamin? Dan said corn. That is correct.
Yeah, corn.
That was unnecessarily vehemently.
What did Joshua and his men do with the donkeys and herds in the city of Jericho? We said slaughter them with the sword. That is correct.
Right on.
What did Joshua and his men do with the donkeys and herds in the city of Ai? We said set them free. That is not correct. Took them captive.
Hey, that was Nathaniel's suggestion.
Number 5, what color were the donkeys in the song that Deborah and Barak sang when Sisera was defeated? Said white, that is correct.
Who?
Number 6, which judge of Israel had 30 sons who rode 30 donkeys? Jer is the correct answer.
Ooh.
Number 7, what is that?
Ooh. I'm trying to be excited, but not overly confident.
Yeah!
That's an old man at New Year's.
The exacerbations of
what time is it? Donkey time!
Yeah, it's past 10:30, Ben. He does what he wants.
All right. What did Samuel tell Saul concerning the donkeys that Saul was looking for? We said, give no further thought to them, for they've been found. That is correct. 8, what did Dag the Edomite do to the donkeys and herds in Nob, the city of priests? We said slaughter them with the sword. That is correct. Number 9, when Abigail saw David for the first time, she alighted from the donkey, bowing to the ground before David. That is correct.
Ooh.
And 10, for what reason did the Shunammite woman ask her husband to send her one of the servants and one of the donkeys? We said so that she could travel quickly to visit Elisha. That is also correct. We answered 8 out of 10 questions correctly for a score of 80%.
We rocked it.
Doubling the average score.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's at least
we better
C-plus.
Know something about the Bible, and we know donkeys.
Yeah, that's
congratulations,
awesome.
Congratulations,
boys. Yeah. Except for Boova.
Yeah,
if we'd have taken his answers, we'd have been 1 of 10.
I wasn't too great on that one.
We're like the, whatever, the Phil Mickelson of donkey quizzes.
All right, you've been listening to Live for the Path. We're going to have to let you go. If you enjoy the show... make sure you sign up for the podcast. Get it delivered to your electronic device of choice and listen to it during the week. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you guys, chat, for playing along. We will see you next week.